Father God, we just thank you for today, Lord. We thank you for all you've done, Lord, and we just thank you for the word that you have for them today, Lord. I just believe that they will receive it with gladness. I believe it'll just permeate their hearts, Lord. I just thank you for it. Your word is true, and it brings life. So we just believe that it'll bring life to death situations in everyone's life here. Here in this place and here online, Lord. And we just give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew 6. Reading from verse 24. I'm reading out of MEV version. It says, "No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." How many of y'all know that? We can't serve God and money. Many have tried, but it keeps going back to the same statement here. You can't serve him. You can't serve two masters. Some will go back and forth with it. Well, if I can just compromise in this area here, then I can just go back and serve the Lord for a little bit. No, we can't serve those two masters. God cares very deeply about you in your life and what's going on in your life and what you do with your money. We have to stop believing that it's okay to serve mammon and still love God. We can't do that. We can't serve mammon. It is impossible. How do you know that your love for God stops? How do you know your love for God fades away? It's because we stop obeying his commands. We stop doing what his word encourages us to do on a daily basis. It's a little compromise here, a little compromise there. It's a little compromise somewhere else or what have you. We begin to fade away from what his word truly says. Jesus says no one can serve two masters. So ask yourself this question. What is the most valuable thing that you have in your life right now? What's the most valuable thing that you have? What is the most valuable thing that you treasure in your life right now? Some people will say their children. Some people will say, you know, their job, their careers. Some will say their possessions, their things. But what do we really treasure? It's our relationship with Jesus. That's first and foremost in our life. If we don't treasure Jesus and we don't treasure the word, what else we have? All that other stuff is going to fade away. This won't. His word won't. His promises won't. His love for us won't. All the other things will fade away. When you serve mammon, it will lead you to do dishonest things, lie, steal, cheat. It'll cost you so much more in order to serve it. Money makes a terrible God. Mammon makes a terrible, terrible God. It'll even cost you your relationship with Jesus. But yet some of them will have millions and millions and millions of dollars. But it will cost their relationship with Jesus. You know, I hear a lot of people say, you know, even when it's people are doing interviews, I'm listening to podcasts and stuff, and people will just quote, money is the root to all kinds of evil. We got to get to the place where even, I know unbelievers quote this a lot, and there's even some believers who will quote it too. I mean, you know, newbies and things of that nature. But we know it's the love of. It's the love of money that is the root to all kinds of evil. But we got to get it so ingrained that we say it's the love of. So even the unbelievers can be saying, well, it's the love of. Rather than it's the money. God is not opposed to you having money. You need money in your everyday life. You need it. They're not taking peanuts at the gas station. You can't barter your way through life all the time. Some people can, and some people like doing that. But push come to shove, you're going to need that currency. Faith is the currency in the kingdom of God, but money is the currency on how we flow here on earth. Everyone has to operate through that, especially in this nation. So it's crazy how people wouldn't think that God doesn't want them blessed. God wants you blessed in every area of your life. Every area. No one can serve. You You cannot serve God and serve anything else over him. Even if you are people pleasing, you can't be a servant of Jesus. In Galatians 1:10, it says this. You have that one? For I am now seeking the approval of man or of God, or am I trying to please man? For if I were still trying to please man, I would not be the servant of Christ. Jesus doesn't want anything or anyone to come before him. Anything or anyone. My wife does not come before Jesus in my life. Jesus comes first, then it's her. Your children should not come before Jesus. As I know you birthed them. You brought them into this world. But they can't come before Jesus. And they shouldn't be coming before your spouse either. Why? Because you're in covenant with your husband and your wife. You cannot be a servant of Christ if you are pleasing to man. We are pleasing to God. And the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to do what? Please God. He is the one that blessed you with every spiritual blessing with no side effects. That is so great that we don't have any side effects. For God, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow to it. There's no side effects to God's blessing on your life. None. Not one. People in this world, you're going to have tribulation. People will try to come and steal it, take it. Government will tax you to death. But there's no side effects to God's blessing on your life. There's overflow, but there's no side effects. I'm talking about negative, jacked up side effects to where you're just haunted because there's people who have played the lottery and they ended up broke, cursed, on drugs, dead. Because I think it's cursed. I know some, don't tell me some of y'all prayed for the lottery. Lord, give me the numbers. Please let me hit the numbers. Lord, I already know. I'm going to give a big tithe and I'm going to do this. You ever pray that prayer? Don't raise your hand if you have. But you probably know what you do with it because you know your heart. But other people don't. And that money ends up being their God. It ends up ruining them. All of a sudden, you get people from everywhere coming. Give me. It makes a horrible master. God knows you will need it in life. Money will ruin your life if you choose to serve it. It will damage your marriage. It will damage your family. It will damage your relationship with Jesus. Because those who desire to be rich, in 1 Timothy 6:9, it says, those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in ruin and destruction. Verse 10, it says, for the love of money is a root of all evil. While coveting after money, some have strayed from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. We don't desire to have. Lord, I desire to be a millionaire. I desire to have this. I desire to have all of that. If you don't have a plan with it and it's just to buy things, that's not much of a plan. Lord, I desire to help build your kingdom. I desire to help feed the poor. I desire to help build those orphanages. I desire to bless those families, those single mothers and things. I desire to build those places. Lord, I desire. If you can get it to me, you can get it through me. I desire. I want to be a vessel for you, Lord. But if it's just, man, I just want to go and show out and everything and just buy some new clothes and buy some new things and buy a new car and just bling, bling it all up and stuff. And it's like, well, God, he has blessed you, but again, you're serving mammon. Doesn't mean he doesn't want you to have nice things. I like nice things. You know, when I was in sixth grade, we did our school shopping at Zodi's. Out there, but I also went to Target. We get some shoes. And I was in sixth grade, and I remember we had our game. It was like a few days before our game, and I already got my basketball shoes ready. I had some all-white Pro Spirits. I was high tops. I was looking clean. But little did we know that our coach held a car wash to buy us all team shoes. I like team shoes. I'm kind of old school with it. I like, you know, team shoes and stuff. And the first pair of team shoes that I ever received was a pair of Jordans. We're sixth graders and we got team shoes, royal blue and black Jordans. Man, we were looking cold. And ever since then, I've been wearing Jordans. It's the only shoe that makes that, I mean, as far as athletic shoes that I like to play in. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not bougie like that. If I get free shoes, I'm going to wear it. In college, you're broke. We don't have the NIL deals like they have today. So I was able to get some team shoes and stuff like that. But the shoes that I love wearing were Jordans because they were comfortable. They fit well. They cost a lot more now than ever. That's why I have my kids buy them. I can get 5 pairs of Jordans every year. Valentine's, Father's Day, anniversary, birthday, and Christmas. There we go. I don't have to buy shoes. They buy it for me. Then they buy my clothes because they don't like the way I match. But God is not opposed to you having nice things. He's not opposed to that. He's not going to shame you for it. People will, but God won't. He's okay with you having a big house. And he's okay with you having a moderate sized house. What blesses you? But as long as you're not allowing that to control you. As long as you're not, you're doing it just to show off to your neighbors. You're trying to keep up with the Joneses. And yet you're broke. You look rich, but you're not rich. You're serving mammon when we're doing that. God cares for you. I'm reminded of that woman with the issue of blood. The Bible says after Jesus had healed her, after she had touched him, the hem of his garment, he says, "Woman, your faith has made you whole." She had lost everything just about. I mean, everything. But her faith has made her whole. How about with Elijah and the widow and what she had received back? We got to understand that God wants to bless you, but it's not to chase after. I wouldn't say wants to bless you. He has already blessed you. I keep saying that. I got to remember. He has already blessed you. Even going back into the garden, everything was already there for them. They didn't have to work for that. God provided it for them. All they had to do was just spend time with him. And they messed that up. The enemy came and messed that up. Right? See? What God has for you, you have to understand, you got to make sure that you're lined up with the word. Because somebody can come in and say, God doesn't want you to have that. And the next thing you know, you're telling your spouse, we shouldn't be having this. And they're trying to condemn you. And you end up talking each other out of the blessing of God for your life. Some people just don't want you to have things. Some people, like Brandon has said, they don't want you to be successful. But he has blessed you in your relationships, your marriages, your finances, on your job. The ability to be able to come up with an answer when no one else has an answer. You have the wisdom of God. You can pray about it, seek his face, and he will give you the answer. You have that. But when you're serving money, you don't have it. You can just pay people off and then that's about it. You don't have to bow to Baal. You don't have to sell your soul. You have to have value in Jesus. You're valuable because the blood of Jesus bought you. You don't have to sell out. You don't have to answer to those who are throwing chump change your way because you've already been bought by the blood of the Lamb. The enemy wants you so strung out on the fact that loving money is the way to go that he's having believers basically pawn off their spiritual blessings for cheap jewelry. You can't trade the things of God. This gold is pure gold. But when we trade it for the things of this world, it becomes like brass in our life. The true riches, the spiritual blessings that Jesus has given the church and given us the body, we can't squander. And we shouldn't settle for anything less than what God has given us. And sometimes we'll settle because that's the easy thing to do. You can't always hit that easy button. Sometimes God wants you to endure things. Sometimes God wants you to go through things. Why? Because there's a bigger reward on the other side of that. But you got to make sure it's God. Some people will just put you in a hamster wheel and just keep you going in circles and circles. Know the difference. You come against that. There's a difference. I heard someone say, there's a difference between being a martyr and being murdered. Being a martyr, you're dying for your faith. Being murdered, somebody want to break into your home and hurt your family. Grab your gun. Pray for them later. Oh, blessed be the God. Protect your family. And you got to know the difference, and even in your own personal life. Is this from God or is this the enemy trying to get me to? What if the Lord sent that person into your life so that you can use your authority over them? Are you going to exercise your faith in God? Are you trusting in God or are you just going to yield to that problem? Medical bill comes up. Lord, we ain't got this. We don't have the money to pay this. How are we going to do it? This is yours. Especially if he told you to go. If the Lord told you, get up and go to the hospital. Well, Lord, you told me to go. Here's the bill. I believe I've received this payment right here in full. This is paid in full. You told me to go. This is paid for. I thank you. Rather than you stressing out about it, got to go pick up another two jobs just to pay for it. Quiet here. For the love of money is the what? Root to all kinds of evil. Verse 11, it says, but you, O man of God, escape these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. If you're not following after these things, that means you are following after something else. Following after something else. Verse 12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. See, that's the only fight that we have to fight, the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you are called and have made a good confession before many witnesses. You have to receive what Jesus has done for you through his death, burial, and resurrection because he has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. Stay away from the pawn shops of the enemy. Verse 13, it says, I command you in the sight of God who gives life to all things and in the sight of Christ Jesus who testified a good confession before Pontius Pilate. Where are you at right now in life? God can breathe life into your situation if you let him. Where are you at? Some people might be struggling. Where are you at in life? And the thing about it is that you're going to have to keep all the distractions out. Distractions will keep you from hearing from the Lord. Distractions will keep you from staying focused on his call. You know, we had listened to some stuff Wednesday night. This is whatever you focus on, you grow in. You become better at. If you come focused and you get more focused on God, your relationship with him will get better. You'll hear him clear. But if you focus on all the negative things, it's going to get worse. Your situation is going to get worse. Lord, I'm always sick. You know what they said? I'm seeing all this stuff on TikTok and it's talking about cancer. It's talking about this. It's talking about that ailment. It's talking about this ailment. Everywhere I turn, it just seems like something is just going wrong. This is when you plead the blood of Jesus. This is when you go to the word. This is when you speak out. Or this is when you turn it off and be like, you know what? I'm not hearing that. I'm not listening to that. It doesn't line up with the word of God. It doesn't line up with what he wants for you. It doesn't line up with your life. God is not going off of what the world is saying about you. He's going off of what he's spoken over you. You have to speak life. Get happy with it. Be joyful with it. Sometimes you got to get a little nasty with it. Like, you know, when you're done, it's just, I'm just fed up. Sick and tired of being what? Sick and tired. But it's this word that's coming out of your mouth. Not complaints. Not murmuring. God doesn't answer complaining. You ever been in a position where you were complaining when you were, whenever you're going to talk, whenever you're going to speak the word, my angels are waiting for. And so was Satan. When you're complaining, that opens up the door to the enemy. Why is this? Check up on your tongue. Seriously, that's everyone. We got to check up on our tongue. That's the world. The world even flows to that and they don't even know it. Verse 14, it says to keep this commandment without blemish, blameless, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he who is the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, will reveal at the proper time. He alone has immortality, living in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen nor can see. To him be honor and everlasting power. Amen. Hear more? 17. Command those who are rich in this world that they not be what? Conceited, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who richly gives us all things to enjoy. God has given you these things so that you can enjoy life. Take that vacation. That's okay. Go ahead and purchase that car if you need to. But here's the thing. Don't forget to bless other people. Don't forget to give generously. And that's that next verse in that, right? It says to put their hope in God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Verse 18. Command those that they do what? Not evil with it. That they be rich in good works, generous, willing to share, and laying up in store for themselves a good foundation for the coming age so that they may take hold of eternal life. Go back to verse 17, please. It's not to be conceited with it. To be arrogant. Well, I got this and you don't. Look at what I've done. People have been struck down because they've taken credit, that they've taken glory from God. King Herod was struck down. In the New Testament. Command those who are rich in this world. See, he's not against them. He didn't say, go ahead and give all your money and feed the poor, sell your possessions like Jesus had told that rich young ruler. Remember that? And he wanted to follow Jesus. And Jesus says, you obey my commands. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not commit adultery. Honor your mother and your father. He tells him several commands. He goes, I've done that. I've kept those all the way up until now. He goes, you still lacking? He goes, what am I lacking? And Jesus says, sell your possessions. And that young man walks away sad, sorrowful, because he had great wealth. He had great possessions. And I believe it's in the book of Mark where he says, Mark 10:24, he says, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of heaven and trust in riches? How hard is it to trust in riches and enter the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God? That young man trusted in riches. He didn't trust in God. And seeing we can get to the place to where this becomes religion, religious, all of, we become so religious, coming to church every single week, paying our tithes and offerings, serving every once in a while, trying to do good out there in the community and what have you. But if it's not really, truly a relationship with him, it means nothing. It's just a Sunday ticket. I don't know about you, but there's not anything in my life that I have bought that if the Lord told me to give it away, I couldn't give it away. except for my wife and family and stuff. You can't have them. Okay, my grandchildren too. And my daughter-in-law. Uh-huh. And I have a son-in-law? Yes, Carson, yes. Nah, he's pretty good. But there's not anything in my life that I can't. If the Lord said, okay, I want you to give your truck away. Well, you're going to have to pay for it first. Yeah. I'm not going to give somebody a truck payment, right? But if he told me to, I would. And I wouldn't have a problem with that. You know why? Because I did it when I didn't have much. I can do it when I have a little more now. And I would do it even if I had a whole lot more. Because we want to be a vessel for him. You can't give away if you're always renting. He's made you owners. Get to the place where he says, Lord, I'm here to serve you. I'm here to listen to you. And whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. Whoever you want me to bless, I want to bless. Whoever you want me to pray for, I'm going to do that, Lord. And I'm going to do that fervently. If you need me to make a meal, I will make it, Lord. If you need me to sell all my possessions. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. That's only if you trusted in riches. Because if you were to do that now and the Lord never said that, you have some people get up there. Man, I've seen so many things online. And I'm like, do you not know you're being recorded? The Lord said to sell your home and bring that money here. You're going to be living in a van down by the river. God ain't saying that. But if he were to say it, would you be able to do it? Because you know, if he's having you to do it, he's already got something in store for you. But I'm going to let you know that every blessing in life and that what God has given you, it's free. You don't have to pay for nothing. You don't have to pay for your healing. You don't have to pay for your deliverance. We don't charge to cast out a demon. We don't charge to get somebody healed and get somebody saved and get somebody delivered. That was paid at the cross. That's free. Freely you have received, now freely give. So when people are charging, pray for them. Open up their blind eyes, Lord. Because that's not your heart. Money is a tool. It's amoral, takes on your character. So get the character of God on you. Get the love of God. Jesus went around giving to the poor. He was giving to the poor. He was helping them. When was the last time you just bought somebody a hot dog? Just to bless them. Man, I was thinking about you today. Here you go. Give them a gift card or something. They might think you're spitting it. But look for ways to bless people this week. Look for ways to lift up people this week. Look for ways to be a light in other people's lives. What's my last scripture there? Numbers. You don't think God wants you? I said, he's been doing this from the beginning. We knew that in Genesis. And here's also in Numbers where this is the priest's blessing, the priestly blessing. He says, the Lord spoke to Moses saying this, speak to Aaron and to his sons saying, this is how you will bless the children of Israel, saying to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. They will put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. That doesn't stop because you're not the children of Israel. You are adopted children. You are adopted sons and daughters. That promise is for you as well. God blesses you and keeps you. He protects you. You don't have to pay for that protection. He loves you. They will put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. You don't understand how much he loves you. There's people who need financial stuff breakthrough. We break that off of you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the blessings that you have on their life. We thank you, Lord. We cancel out debt in everyone's life right here, Lord. That's already a done deal, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you that you multiplied the seeds that they sow. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. You struggling a little bit. Thank you, Jesus. Come here, if you would. Miss Chris. Do we have any tissue? Let me just, Lord, I thank you for Brooke. Lord, I thank you for her life, her health, and her strength, Lord. I thank you that the favor that is on her, Lord. I thank you that you are watching out for her. You are keeping her safe. Lord, I thank you that the blessing is in her life, Lord, is on her and in her life. And everything that she sets her hand to, Father God, prospers in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you. Hallelujah. Lord, we speak to any sickness that's in our body right now. We command it to be healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. Amen. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Ask if she need prayer. She goes, you were speaking to me the whole time, so. Thankful for that. You are a blessed generation, y'all. Continue to pray for people. Continue to lift them up. Even though there's some people out there that just want to do evil. We know that. The White House thing, huh? We know that. We thank you for the men and women that are protecting them. We thank you for the men and women, the men that are around all the churches, Lord, that are protecting the sheep. They not only carry the word, Lord, they carry things that will help control the situation. And we are thankful for them, Lord. Continue to give them wisdom and guidance in all they do. And we just give you the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, let's stand. Yes, ma'am. Father God, we thank you today. We thank you. Lord, we speak. Are we still online? No. Well, let's just get an agreement with an individual, I think Tammy Lynn's fiance, Daryl Gross, right now says they have throat cancer, right? So we just command that to be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that your word says, surely you are borne our sicknesses and diseases, and you carried our sorrows. And by your stripes, Jesus, Daryl is healed and whole in the name of Jesus, that he will be speaking with a deeper tone and a more fervent voice for you, Lord. And we just thank you for that. We cancel out that cancer right now in the name of Jesus. And any cancer in anybody's body, any kind of tumor in your body, Lord, we speak against it right now in the name of Jesus, because it has no right to be in your life. It has no right to be there, Lord. And we cancel it out right now in the name of Jesus, because you will live and not die. And Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Amen. God bless y'all.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.